Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Our next guest, actually a sneak preview guests, knows a lot about algae, a lot more than most people. He travels the world studying it, from the Arctic to the Antarctic to places all over the world. Professor Fritjof Cooper is the chair of the Marine Biodiversity Department at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. If you Google him, you'll find pages and pages of stuff listing all of his publications and research projects, yes, about algae. So where does this passion for studying algae come from? Well, we're going to talk to him, and also we have a special guest to discuss what brought you here. So welcome to the studio, and welcome to Juno.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
And I know you have a bit of a fun history surrounding Juno, but tell me why you're here and who you're here with.
Well, the primary reason is really my PhD student, my grad student, Lynn Wilbur, who is based here, who is a resident of Alaska, not a native of Alaska. Her husband is, but they're hosting me, and I'm here. The primary objective is to help her bring her PhD over the finishing line and to think about future projects in this very interesting and, I think, underexplored part of the world.
Yeah, well, Lynn, welcome to the studio. You have some good experience also in public radio. We hear that you've volunteered at KCAW, Raven Radio, Roots here as well. So welcome back into the public radio studio.
Yes, I really love being back in Juno.
Good, good. Well, so let's just talk a little bit about your journey of getting to Juno, and it's kind of, it involves your parents. It involves a trip that they had and connections they made. So tell me a little bit about that.
About that, yeah. I mean, for myself, it has been almost a lifelong dream to visit, actually, Alaska. I mean, it is an almost mythical place. And now having a PhD student here and a husband, and we became friends doing an earlier expedition 3 years ago to the south of Peru, I mean, was the obvious occasion for me to come here. And there's a bit of family history. My parents had a fantastic trip to Alaska back in 2006 as cruise ship tourists, like you get many here in this area. But they actually managed to meet some of the locals, and they befriended the who had been previously mayor of Hoona, Miles Murphy, who took them on a bear-watching trip to the dump of Hoona.
Yes.
And my parents are very keen to see bears. And
That was a big spot for a long time. I think it's
really
better,
you know,
now, right? It's gotten better, but yeah, that was
they came off the ship and they met this nice gentleman in Hoona who took them in his pickup truck to the dump in Hoona to watch grizzly bears. And I've got photos of that. And became a friendship that lasted a couple of years, and at some moment it stopped, and we were wondering why. And then also my parents passed away, and then 3 years ago when I was in Peru with Lynn and Henry, I told them about this story, that my parents had a native Alaskan friend and maybe we could try to find out a bit about him. And I said I would be searching our house in Germany, my parents' house, for any letters or emails. And finally materialized actually this last Christmas break when I was a bit longer than planned, again because of a COVID travel ban. I couldn't go back to the UK where I have my workplace. And then I looked through my mother's image archive, including this trip to Alaska, and I sent this to Lynn and Henry, and they immediately recognized my parents' friend. They recognized Miles Murphy, and
well-known Hoona resident.
Do you also know him?
I've heard the name.
You've heard the name. He was apparently mayor for more than 10 years.
I've heard that.
A very long time, and he's done a lot of things in the community, and he's very highly remembered from everything I gather. And and it turns out that, Miles is no longer alive, and this is why this contact with my parents ruptured in 2010, because he passed away. And but he has a daughter who lives here in Juno and with whom I had a very nice dinner last night.
Oh, great.
Kathy Parker. I hope she's also listening right now. We were sort of continuing this friendship in the legacy of our parents. It was a very moving moment for me to come here and to retrace my parents' footsteps, both in Juno and Sitka and Hoona. They had a wonderful time here, and it was, I think, one of the best trips of their life.
Well, Lynn, let's talk about how did you end up making the connection to Dr. Cooper? I mean, how did that end up working? How does that relationship happen?
Well, I'm a student, obviously, at the University of Aberdeen, but my interest in my focus of my PhD started in Sitka. I lived there for 16 years. I was working with it's called the Marine Group, the multi-agency Rocky Intertidal Network, and I'd been at the Sitka Sound Science Center working there in the aquarium doing public education and outreach, and we had this chance to resurvey these historic intertidal sites that were described in the book Between Pacific Tides by the well-known early ecologist Ed Ricketts and his counterpart Jack Calvin, who was actually a well-established family name there in Sitka. And so at this same time, I was traveling to Peru on my own, working with a nonprofit group, and always interested in the intertidal. I was noticing similarities between some of these areas in Peru and Southeast Alaska. Now, in the 1700s to 1800s, there was quite a bit of commerce. Lima, Peru, was an important port city, as well as Sitka. And so, you know, it's possible that some of these similarities I was seeing were due to invasions or maybe increases in ranges of some of these organisms. When I decided to make a break and start my PhD, I became interested. University of Aberdeen was making some big news in the way of deep sea research. So I investigated a little further, and I came up with Dr. Kepper's name. He's this algae specialist, and he's worked all over the world. And I thought, well, he might be interested. And so through Professor Graham Pierce, who used to be a professor at Aberdeen, we got together. We came together on this. And Frithjof's just been great because he's got this just excitement about him that I think matches mine. He's a bit more physically fit than I am. I mean, on this trip, we've done some hikes together, and I've been kind of strapped to my computer trying to get this thesis finished, trying right. to hit the gym because I knew he was coming, but I also know he likes to get out. We'd done quite a bit of walking across the desert, so I knew I could keep up with him. But anyway, when he said he wanted to come, I was super excited about that. Plus, having him here looking at these sites, we just got back actually from Sitka, and we visited a couple of the sites that I surveyed, intertidal, looking at diversity, large-scale diversity, like if you look at a big swath of the intertidal and then just kind of narrow it down to one distinct community. I mean, it's almost like I call it Horton Hears a Who when you're talking about right. very small communities. Yep. And so we did a little bit of snorkeling. Frithjof's collected some specimens of algae. He's going to take back for what he calls DNA barcoding, and he'll tell you more about that. And then hopefully we'll be returning in the near future. And I think he should tell you more about yeah. the plans for
well,
the future.
Yeah, let's talk about your research itself. And the journey of getting here has a human interest to it, but then you have a scientific interest.
Absolutely, which was the first, the primary yeah. reason for coming here.
Yeah.
And I work, I would say, on the biochemistry and biodiversity of seaweeds in, I would say, underexplored regions in the world where few people have worked before, where there's a lot to discover with relatively little work. And a lot of things that you pick up tend to be somehow novel. And other places where we have worked is in the Canadian Arctic, in the southwestern Antarctic Peninsula, quite a bit in the Eastern Mediterranean, Greece and Cyprus, also the Arabian or Persian Gulf, Kuwait in particular. I've had two grad students, now Alaska. And when Lynn took me around to show me her study sites, we went to Sitka, and there is this beautiful intertidal outside the science center, and there was something that I had never seen like this before. All the fucus, this is the most common brown seaweed in the intertidal zone, was covered by fish eggs. It looks like caviar.
Yes.
Like white transparent
herring.
Caviar. And apparently
herring
this
season,
is,
yes.
Exactly, and this is apparently something that everybody here knows. We have lots of fucus in North European coasts, but not this phenomenon without the fish eggs. So to me, this looked genuinely novel, and I thought, hey, that may be interesting. Maybe this is something peculiar for this part of the world. And then we collected a few samples on our first day. That was Sunday, and then at night I searched the internet from Lynn's friend's house where we were staying. And it seems that this is widely known here to the local people, even to the First Nation Tlingit, who have lived here for as long as anybody can think back. And however, there seems to be nothing in the scientific literature so far. And I then emailed a friend in Greece who's a fish geneticist and who would do the DNA barcoding. And I said, hey, I may have something novel here from Alaska, and I will bring back samples conserved in alcohol. And he replied 2 days later. I got the reply yesterday evening, and he said, yes, by all means do. I came to the same conclusion. I also searched the obvious literature databases. There's nothing published about this phenomenon, even though everybody in Alaska knows about it, and it's worth a bit of a study.
What I'm wondering is, did those samples end up getting dipped in soy sauce later that night and then maybe being eaten? I mean, yeah, you're showing fantastic.
Would like to try it. I haven't had the opportunity to eat them
amazing.
Yet. So I've put them actually into Everclear. We went to a liquor store in Sitka. We had to get ethanol, alcohol, to conserve them, to take them back to Europe.
We got them at home.
And you haven't them at home, so we may try them tonight before dinner as an hors d'oeuvre. And so I'll take some samples back to Europe, and they will be sequenced very soon.
And did you see them on seaweed, but also on spruce boughs? Did you also see the gathering of them on spruce boughs?
I saw them only on seaweed, actually, during my visit. Yeah. I mean, we went out a couple of times at low tide, and they were in particular on this fucus, which is this large and most common brown seaweed in the intertidal around here, and that really impressed me.
Yeah, we did see them on Macrocystis during the snorkel. We did. There's a similar named beach, Sandy Beach, in Sitka. Mm-hmm. It's got a little kelp bed next to it. So, you know, that's one of the things I do miss about Sitka is having the herring here. And I know Juneau used to have a good herring population that returned every year. And it's unfortunate that apparently it has not recovered since the fishery closed. I think, how long has it been?
I've heard that too, that there used to be a significant herring harvest here, and then it's not.
I've lived here before. Yeah. I don't even think there was a herring fishery. I'm saying 10 years. It's been way more than that. So
since 82.
Since the 80s. Okay. Yeah.
That long. Yeah. Wow. Well, and we will determine whether this is actually herring. I believe it is. I mean, all the people here cannot be wrong, but it's better to have an actual genetic confirmation what these eggs really are.
Yeah, fascinating.
And then me to describe it. I think it is an overlooked role of these fucus forests. I mean, you can read in textbooks that these large brown seaweed forests are nursery for all kinds of marine biota. Mm-hmm. I have not really seen that for herring, which are such an important commercial and ecologically significant fish species.
Yeah, yeah. And the herring egg season is the significant season. There's trades among the communities in Juneau, and you see it happen all over.
Yes.
So it's a fascinating part. It's really kind of a really cool time of the year that you happen to be here.
It's not at all the tourist season. Today I met the first other two visitors.
Yeah.
They were Spanish speaking in the museum across the road here. Nobody else, and I love it. I mean, the weather's fantastic.
The weather is unusual. You know, we're having a good spell, but
I love it anyway. I think it's a beautiful season to visit Alaska. It's a bit chilly, but I like it.
We've had a great couple of weeks of weather. Yeah. Well, it's fantastic to talk to you both, and it's what a journey to get here. And then you're of course doing really interesting and important research, and as you say, not just algae but seaweed and all that. Just that's becoming a commercial. You know, that's becoming viable commercially. In the area as well.
I heard something about seaweed farming, about kelp farming in southern Alaska, I think near Ketchikan. Your colleague Rhonda emailed me about this.
Yes, yep.
And I think that's a good thing. This is basically another source of sustainable, environmentally and socioeconomically sustainable income for coastal communities, especially in remote areas. Mm-hmm. Especially if they manage to sell this as foodstuff, which fetches high prices, especially on the Asian market or sort of in delicatessen stores. I mean, they can really have very good income from that.
Yeah, there's a seafood company in town called Barnacle Foods that is doing that and makes delicious salsa and
they're based
hot
in Ketchikan. I've actually been to their little facility near Hump Island.
Yeah. Barnacle's based here.
Oh, it is based here.
Yeah, but there may be another one based in Ketchikan as well. But Barnacle was founded by two Juneau young people that had this great connection to the ocean and thought that would be a viable food source. And
they've
been proven right.
Yeah, forgive me then. I think I saw the name and I associated it with there's an oyster farm.
Okay.
And they have quite a bit of Barnacle products, and I thought that was coming out of that oyster farm.
Well, great to meet you both. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for letting us know you're in town in this kind of really fascinating, interesting story about coming here and having a couple of decades between your first knowing about Juneau and hearing about it from your parents and remembering your parents, I'm sure,
very intensely. I'm retracing their footsteps, especially in the streets of Juneau and Sitka.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they're walking here with me.
Right.
Yeah,
well, that's a wonderful way to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, thanks to both of you for coming and talking to us. Good luck with your work. And
Thank you.
Bearing down there on your laptop as you were describing.
Yes.
But good luck with that, and thanks to both of you for coming in.